put it in a bit of depth. But when I woke up this morning and I seen the news, and you see what's going on in the world around us, we really need to know who we are in Christ, don't we? We really need to know what we're standing on and where we are and who we are and what this looks like for us. As we see what's going on in our world, we really do need to know who we are. But I was sitting thinking, I watch a program, I don't know if you watch it, I don't know why to say it for the camera, Aussie Gold Hunters, I watch quite a lot. I don't know, does anybody ever see the program? It's on the Discovery or the Quest channels. And it's really about gold hunters in Australia. I just love how they do it. They go to dig for gold, just like those in the past. You will see that they went to the gold mines in the far out fields and they went to look for riches. Nuggets of gold is what they find. And I didn't really understand. I have a gold ring, you have gold jewellery. They are nuggets they find, and they're small bits of gold, or sometimes there's big bits of gold, but mostly what they're finding is small nuggets. And you ought to see their faces when they find these nuggets. Claire sits and watches it with me, as a good wife should. But it's amazing that they're finding small bits of gold, which are worth a fortune. I didn't think it was that valuable gold. It is when you go to buy it, but when you see how they have to do it, and they need a permit to mine to search for this gold. It belongs to, the land always belongs to other people, and the land has always been mined before. So they're coming on the backs of others that have mined this ground before. But it's an incredible program. And you have to get a lease on the land. But I read this here, Mount Morgan Gold Mine in Queensland, Australia, is one of the richest parts of land in the world, not just Australia. Mount Morgan Gold Mine. It's amazing to think this, that those in the past that owned this land lived in poverty. They were poor. They didn't know what was in their land. Isn't that incredible to think? I think it must have been called the Morgans because it's Mount Morgan, Queensland gold mine, so it is. They lived in deep poverty. They had a vast wealth that was unseen. It was out of sight. They had all the riches beneath their feet. Think about that this morning. They had something and never seen it. They stood on something and never knew it. They had all the riches they need, but they couldn't see it. Isn't that incredible to think that that is possible? And in many ways, I was sitting thinking about this. As Christians, we're the same, aren't we? We live in poverty. We don't live out of the riches of Christ. We see what goes on in the world and we panic, and we should panic at times. But in the end of the day, we need to know what we stand on this morning. We are children of the King this morning. We seem to just exist, don't we? We plod through the day, and there's nothing wrong with plodding through the day. I plod through every day, okay? And sometimes I just exist. But we plod through the day. We struggle spiritually. And we're vastly unaware. Because of what goes on in our lives, what goes on in the world, we're vastly unaware of the riches that God has promised us. And we never seem to claim what's rightfully ours, sure we don't. We never seem to live in that spiritual side of things. We are children of the King, living like paupers. It's incredible to think that, isn't it? We are children of a King, and yet we live like paupers. And I'm not talking about financial wealth here. I'm talking about something that's so much more richer, if I can say. There's an old hymn that says these beautiful words. I look to the cross upon Calvary, and oh, what a wonder divine, to think of the wealth that it holds for me. The riches of heaven are mine. Someone once said this. We may have as much of God as we will. Christ puts the key of the treasure chamber into our hands and bids us to take all we want. If a man is admitted to a bullion vault of a bank and told to help himself and comes out with not one penny, whose fault is it that they would be poor? We have the keys to the riches of Christ this morning. It's like he says going into a bullion vault full of money and walking out without anything. We have something that we cannot imagine this morning. And the world will always judge us, as we know, of what we have. What's in our banks? how we dress, maybe what we drive, who our friends are, maybe where we eat. That's how the world will see our wealth this morning. But Paul in Ephesians, as I come to my small verse this morning, Paul in Ephesians 3, and I'm not going to Ephesians 3 this morning, Michelle, tells us something that we have the unsearchable riches in Christ. We have something this morning that we could never comprehend. There's no limit, he tells us, to the riches we have in Christ. We have the redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our sins. We have the knowledge of the mystery of his will. We have a message of truth this morning. And we are sealed and stamped by the Holy Spirit this morning. We have all the riches in Christ, and yet we live like paupers, he's saying. We're guaranteed of our inheritance, so we are. We have all the riches. We have all the eternal benefits. We can never fully understand, Paul says, of all that's unseen and all that we stand in. We stand in many ways this morning. And I want to encourage us this morning. I want to put something into you because I'm trying to put it into myself. We stand on a gold mine this morning. We stand on a gold mine this morning. And we need to see that. In our opening line, as we come to a verse, we find this amazing truth. In Ephesians 1:1-3, but I'm going to speak from 3-6 out of the Message, so you'll not carry the Message Bible on you. I know that, or you won't. But Ephesians 1-3, Paul says something. He says, praise be, Ephesians 1:1-3, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Message from 3-6 says this: how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He is our Father of the Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled us on the focus of his love, to be made holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Christ Jesus. What a pleasure, it says in my wee portion of scripture, what a pleasure he took in planning this. Listen to this. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt me and you into his family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure he took in doing this. He wanted us to enter the celebration of his lavish gift, giving by the hand of his beloved Son. We are blessed this morning. We are a blessed people this morning. Say we're a blessed people this morning. Come on. We're a blessed people this morning. We're a treasured people this morning. And we are commissioned this morning for a purpose. We've got to remember that we're privileged, we're treasured, and we're blessed this morning for a reason. And this morning, and I was at a church event just over the weekend, and I was talking to a few people, and a lot of people don't get what church is. Sometimes I don't get what it is. Those on the outside will never get what it is. And Christians, people who come to church, don't overly understand what church is. We sort of get it and we don't get it, don't we? We sort of get it, but we love church because it's Christ's idea. That's why I always go on it. But if you don't get the church this morning, if you can take or leave church this morning, if you wonder what all the fuss is about, here's maybe right here from others sometimes. We've lost the bigger picture of what it is and what it was always meant to be. We lose the big picture because of events in our lives, because of what's happening in the world, because we hear this or that, but we miss the big picture of church. And Paul, in our reading this morning, in some ways gives us an insight to God's big plan. It doesn't tell us an awful lot, but it tells us an awful lot in what he says. He gives us an insight into God's big plan for you and for me. He says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That word blessed in the Greek, as I'm really good, means eulogy. You know that thing you have at a funeral, we'll all get one day. But it really just means this. It means to speak well of. Or God has spoken good things about you this morning and spoken good things about me this morning. God, what would I say? Good things that he's decreed upon us this morning that are too numerous to mention. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We read it in the message long, long, long ago. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God has pronounced this morning, listen, good things about you this morning. Did anybody feel good this morning when they got up? Probably not. But God says you were good. God has pronounced this morning good things about you this morning. Why? For your benefit, it tells us. We have special favor this morning. We have mercy this morning. We have a gift given to us by God this morning. Good things were told, too numerous to mention this morning. Good things that God bestows on his children. There's a word, the Hebrew for blessing means baraka, or I think that's how you pronounce it, and it means blessings. It means it's something that accompanies you and me in our journey in life. When we journey in life with God, we have all his blessings. We live this morning, as you'll see on the news as I woke up this morning, it's an ever-changing world, isn't it? We know what the scriptures say about that there, and we're not going to go into the depths of that. But we know the world is changing for a reason. We know it's part of the end times. We know that God is up to something here. But it's ever-changing. It's unpredictable. Everything that we is familiar with us is starting to disappear, isn't it? Our culture is starting to disappear. What we believe is starting to disappear. So much is disappearing. Everything seems to become a little bit unrecognizable. And our text this morning and what Paul says just this morning in chapter 1:1-3, it should bring some stability into our mindset this morning. It should make us a wee bit more stable when we read that verse. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God has a plan this morning. The plan hasn't changed from the foundations of the earth. Before the earth was ever created, the plan of God has not changed. It's always been familiar. Nothing has changed with God, although we're changing, although our world is changing. Before the setting, I would say, before he founded foundations of anything, God had a big plan. And the plan was always with me and you in mind. And Paul makes a bold statement this morning. He says something about the church, and this is why we have to get church this morning. Paul makes a bold statement, and he sets out a challenge to you and to me this morning. He says, God will not give up on you, and God will not give up on me, and we shouldn't give up on the church either, is the message throughout Ephesians. He says that the church is placed where God wants it to be placed. It's at the heart of his purpose for all of creation. I think we read it in the other way. Long, long ago, God had a plan. We read in the message side of it. And Paul tells us this, that we are blessed to be part of the church this morning. Bet you don't feel blessed this morning, so you don't?
No.
But we're blessed this morning to be part of this gathering. If you went to another church, you'd be blessed to be part of that church. We are blessed this morning to be part of something that God has started. I love how one commentator puts it. Listen to this. We're the trophy cabinet of his grace. I love that. We're in his trophy cabinet this morning. No way you go and I'll go any Man United fan. I go to Liverpool's trophy cabinet and I see European Cups and FA Cups and all these league titles. But think about that. We are trophies in his cabinet of grace. That's an amazing thing to think about this morning. We are blessed beyond our wildest imagination. We are saved at an unimaginable cost this morning. We are treasured by a divine spirit this morning. We are protected by a divine spirit also, but we are also filled by divine spirit. And we are commissioned this morning not to be something from the past, not to be part of something but the past, but as one person says, we are commissioned to be a prototype for the future. You're starting to get a wee bit of a picture of the church this morning. If you can take or leave the church this morning, you missed the big plan of God. You're missing the bigger picture of God and what he thinks about the church this morning, what he thinks about me and you as we gather this morning. You see, this is the church that we lose interest in. This is the church that we seem to get bored of. This is the church that we give up in. And this is the church that we just don't get sometimes. We all learn, we've all done that, haven't we? We've all give up. We've all lost interest. We've all at some stage lost the bigger picture. And if you're in that place this morning, there's a fire that needs to be lit again in you. And this is what Ephesians wants to do with us. He wants to see, he wants you to see, and he wants me to see this morning, the church from God's perspective. He wants you to see the bigger picture this morning, that you're part of something that's unique. Paul says something really interesting at the start of Ephesians. Paul, a prisoner, I've talked about this before, I'm not going to go into it. But even from his position as a prisoner, under house arrest, he wants us to see the bigger picture of what God's doing with the church. He says, from a prisoner point of view, I am still blessed, he says. It's not about my situation that I feel blessed, he says. Even though I'm a prisoner, I am blessed to be part of something so much bigger. And he says, I'm incredibly privileged. And this is so important for me and you this morning. Whatever position we may find ourselves in, whatever is going on in our lives, the challenge to praise God, no matter what is going on, the challenge to see the bigger picture, not our circumstances, to what God is at. Why? Because Jesus is worth it, Paul tells us. God is bringing all our blessings together so we can enjoy them now and even in the future. Remember, God has a plan for you and for me this morning. God has a plan for all of creation this morning. And here's the big part of all this. Here's what I want to grasp this morning. Remember, God has a plan for the future of all creation, and he's called me and you to lead creation into its future. That's what Paul's saying in Ephesians. That's a big calling, isn't it? To lead all of creation into his future, Paul says. He's saying we're purposed. And our purpose is this. To introduce, I'm going to even go bigger this morning, okay? Introduce the universe, he says, into its future destiny. Does anybody think Christianity's boring? See, when I read that, we're to introduce the universe, he says. The universe, he doesn't go our town, he doesn't go your street, he doesn't go your family. He says, we are to bring the universe, he says, into its future destiny. How's that done is another thing. So let's think about that just for a few minutes. You got saved. Hopefully you're saved this morning. If you're not, you need to be saved, okay? There's the gospel, a wee short one, okay? You need to have Jesus as your savior. But here's what he's saying. In getting saved, the old us goes, doesn't it? The new us comes in, or it's meant to anyway. Our hearts start to change. Our minds get renewed. Our environment should get better. Isn't that right? When change happens, things around us get better. And he says our purpose in that is so big. We get to get introduced, he says, the universe, because our minds are renewed, because our hearts are changing, because our environment is getting better, we get to introduce the universe to that which is around us, to its destiny. All because of what Christ has done for you and what Jesus has done for me. It sort of sounds like a sci-fi movie when I start talking like that, universes and all, doesn't it? It really sounds far-fetched, but it's not. And here's why we should get excited this morning. Jesus is doing everything, introducing the universe to its future, to its destiny, through the church. The church that gathers on a Sunday. You think you've came this morning, you've got up and had a cup of coffee, you've came to church, you came in your car, you've sat down, how are you, yes, yes, and that's church. It's not. It's so much more than that, we're being told. It's through you, he's doing it, it's through you, it's happening, and it's through you, it will be completed, he says. And to get back to our starting point again, he says that we are purposed, we are called, and we are commissioned. And he says, remember this, we are the most blessed people in the universe. Think about that this morning. Why? Because we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And one of those blessings is we are blessed. We are blessed this morning. Say we're blessed this morning. Work with me this morning. We are blessed. We are, Martin. Go for it. We stand on a gold mine this morning. Don't we, Martin? Don't be digging the floor, okay? It cost us more money. But we are blessed. We stand on a gold mine this morning. And why is this important? Why, when we look at the news, is this important? Why, when we have stuff going on in our own lives, is that important? Because it's during times of hardship, during times of trials, it's where we gain our comfort from. It's where we have our reassurance coming from. Knowing we are blessed this morning. Blessings aren't because you're getting it easy. Blessings aren't, what would I say, because everything's going well. You are blessed no matter what's going on, Paul says. Blessings, he says, that can be found in the heavenly realms. Paul says that 5 times in Ephesians. Blessings that can be found up there somewhere. And this is crucial for you and me to grasp this morning. To understand what he says in those heavenly realms. It seems to be a spiritual dimension, doesn't it? Because we see that in Ephesians 6 later on. So either 5 or 6 it is. We have these blessings in the spiritual dimension where the powers are dwelling, he says. These powers that are just not in heaven, even though they exist in the realms, we're told. Not on earth, we're told as well. Not in the future, we're told as well. He's stating this morning. We're not fighting, and we know this well. We're not fighting what? Flesh and blood? Sure, we're not. We don't fight against flesh and blood. In chapter 6, or is it, I have it written down, we wrestle with our spiritual enemies, we're told, in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms, the spiritual dimension where our blessings are. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. All because of what Jesus has done for all eternity. We're united with him. Therefore, he says, they come as spiritual blessings. Not because of anything we have done. But because it's all finished. Remember this morning as I just continue. Here's what I want you to get this morning. Part of our blessing this morning that is in the heavenly realms, that is here and now, on earth, not on earth, whatever Paul's trying to say, here's what he's trying to get at. God speaks well of us this morning. God speaks well of Claire this morning. God speaks well of Charlie and Martin this morning, of Hilda, of Will, of Ella, of Hilda. God speaks well this morning of you this morning. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear God speaks well of you this morning. Because you're blessed. It's in this place of blessing, this spiritual realm, that we're reminded of something. Verse 3 says, it's where we've already been blessed. Verse 20 says, where Jesus is enthroned. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, where we have already been raised to be seated with Christ. It's where Jesus has the victory over all that's evil. It's where it's demonstrated. It's where the church, and here's what I want us to get for the church this morning. Think about this. I keep thinking about the church as this. Do you ever go to a play or an amphitheater, and there's a play happening and you have all the crowd around it? Think of the Colosseum or some place like, even a theater. We're the church on the stage, and all the realms and all the spiritual forces are watching us. Think about that there. Have that picture in your head. Think about being at a theater, watching a play. The church is the play, this ongoing thing, with every spiritual dimension watching. And when we gather on a Sunday, we're meant to gather in unity, and we're in unity because of Jesus this morning. Might disagree on a few things, but we're all because of Jesus, we're in unity. It's where we get under his word. And this is why this morning the church is so important. Here's the big picture. We come in unity This morning, as you've got out of your bed, if you've came to church in your car to sit down, to have a cup of coffee, to go home and start all over again, it's not what it's about. The big picture is this. We come in unity this morning to stand firm. This is what the church is doing in the heavenly realms. As those watching down, the evil forces and the angels watch the church, they stand and watch us come in unity and stand against the evil assaults. It's being played out in the heavenly realms this morning. This is so much bigger, isn't it, than we ever thought? It's being played out in the heavenly realms, Paul says, in the spiritual dimensions this morning. They are watching what we're doing. That's why we come under attack quite a lot. And he says these blessings that we have are not trivial. They're not temporary. They're not trinkets of wealth or property or anything like that. Paul is remembering his own circumstances in a prison. And he says, for me to be blessed is not being set free. For me to be blessed isn't about freedom, he says. It's not about getting the hardship removed. It's not about being spared trials, he says. Spiritual blessings, he says, are eternal. I have them now, he says. There's something to experience, he says. And he says they belong to everyone. They belong to you, they belong to me, and they belong to Paul, they belong to Claire, and they belong to everyone. And the problem is that we have this morning, the problem why we don't feel good sometimes, the problem why we get up and we struggle, is we live in the nearly not yet, don't we? We're nearly there, but we're not quite there. Oh, we're nearly there, but we're not quite there. That was God having to go up me there. But we live in the nearly not yet, don't we? It's why we struggle. It's why we have trials. It's why we can't enjoy the blessings fully. It's why we get stolen off them. It's why the robber comes to steal our joy and all the blessings that we have. We live in the nearly not yet. Yet Paul says those beautiful words, doesn't he? Paul learned to be content. He knew the secret of contentment in every situation. And he says these beautiful words, because of his blessings, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet we're in a battle, aren't we? We're blessed, yet in a battle. We're blessed to know our position in Christ, we're told. We're blessed in knowing everything we have and we need are in Christ. We're blessed in our circumstances, Paul says. We're blessed now and we're blessed in the future. We're blessed, he says, and chosen by God. We are blessed, and he says, God has pronounced for you and me this morning good things to his children this morning. God talks about you this morning. Anybody talk about some this morning? I say God talks about us, but it's good things. Not bad things. God, what would I say? God gossips about us is a brilliant way to put it. It's a brilliant way to put it. We're told we're protected by divine power. Blessed to be part of the church. Blessed to be in a community of believers. You're blessed to be in this morning as a community of believers. Even with different opinions, even with everything that's going on, we are blessed to be in this morning. And we're saved, we're told. And that's why I wanted to take a wee bit of time, just in our own. We're saved at an unimaginable cost this morning. We could never imagine that. To be the church this morning. Positioned this morning at the very heart of God's purpose. For all of creation. Brought in by the Father. Predestined, elected and chosen. Leave that to the theologians for you, okay? But predestined, elected and chosen we are this morning. Paul says that's your top spiritual blessing. Is to be brought in by God. To be picked. To be chosen. To be elected is the top spiritual blessing. A better way to think of it, and I'm going to be conservative on it. God holds out for those who want to be in. God holds out for those who want to be in. I think it's a brilliant way of putting that. God holds out for those who want to be in. Do you ever, I was talking to Claire on this here, I never overly experienced this, okay, because I was quite good at sports and football. Do you ever get picked in a lineup? I think I've talked about this before. But do you ever get picked in school and you go, I'll have him. And then there's always one at the end. You just take him. Do you ever do that? Has that ever happened to you in the playgrounds? Okay, I never experienced that, okay? Because I normally pick the team or something. I'm not boasting, but I never really felt that too much. But it happens, doesn't it? first pick. Usually those that are the best get picked first because you want to win. Normally the best gets picked first. Everyone gets picked out of their talent and what they can do. And here's a big statement. And I don't know how this works. Did you realize when God picked you, you were his very first pick? It doesn't sit right, sure does. How can you be his first pick when there's so many of us? When God first pick, imagine you're all in a line and we're all standing there and God's picking his team and we're all picked first. In other words, I think he's saying, all of us, let's go. You were picked first. Chosen, not just to make up the numbers. Chosen in Christ for Christ. And here's the big thing, we can't get on chosen. I don't believe we can. It means I can do something about this. I can't. Christ has done it all. When he's picked me, he picked me. No matter what I do, I'm picked. I remember, and I probably need a wee bit of, any counselors in the room? When I was a child, when I was younger, I remember, and we didn't get away much on weekends, okay? Really didn't. And I had an auntie and an uncle who were taking, usually took my sister everywhere, so they did. And I remember getting, I was going away with them the weekend, can't remember where I was going. And I probably had my good stuff on, whatever that was. And with a building site near to us, and while I was waiting on my auntie and uncle come, I'd done what we boys normally do, went to a building site and fell, and all the muck and mud. And then I come back, and I never forget my auntie saying this here, I'm not taking him now. Let's go, and took my sister. I remember what that felt like to get unpicked, just being a wee boy. I don't know about other clothes to change into, I'm going to be quite honest, maybe that's why I didn't go. But I never forget the feeling of being unpicked. That's a beautiful part of what in our blessings is this morning. God never unpicks us. We are chosen despite what we do. It's not a do what you want anyway and God's going to pick you. It's not that, okay? But we're chosen this morning. Not because of our actions, but because of Jesus this morning. It's the good news of the gospel. God brings in those who deserve it the least. God brings in those who deserve it the least. We've been brought into, Paul says, is our top spiritual blessing. We've been chosen to be like God and not God's, but we've been chosen to be like him. Chosen to be holy. Chosen in his image. We are imitators of Christ this morning. Jesus seen what the Father done and done it, and we do as Jesus has done. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, for he has chosen us in him before creation of all the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Brought in purpose this morning. Let me just encourage you. You were brought in purpose this morning. Chosen on purpose this morning. To be holy and blameless. We're working on that stuff, aren't we? Holy and blameless. That's a work in progress. But we were chosen on purpose this morning. We were set apart this morning. We were made on purpose this morning. We were set free this morning. We were elected this morning. We were predestined this morning. For not because we deserve it. Not because of what I can do, because of my talents. But all because of Jesus this morning. We are blessed. We were brought into on purpose. And we were chosen before all creation. Remember in Genesis 1 and 1, as I come to my last point, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. Think about before God created anything, and I think I said it in the start, long, long, long ago. Remember the way fairy tales are told? Long, long, long ago before. But before we see anything else on earth, before the foundations were laid, before everything else, God chose you this morning. I want to encourage you in that this morning. Before anything this morning was ever done on earth, God always had a big plan. We were always meant to be. We would always be brought into. I don't know how that all works. The more I read into it, the less I seem to know about it. But we were brought into this morning. We were chosen and cherished this morning. We have been cherished at the Father's heart this morning. And we all, if you think you're not important this morning, if you think you don't really matter this morning, if you think you're not significant this morning, you might feel that you don't matter today. And I'm going to say something, that's true, you don't matter today. There you are, there's Paul Murphy counseling skills. You do not matter today, but here's the big point. Listen, you have always mattered. Not just today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. You have always mattered. Come on, that should put something in us this morning. You have always counted. You've always counted. We're told of creation. We should feel a wee bit of a bubble starting to happen, a wee bit of excitement at least starting to happen this morning. Even if some of my theology in this is wrong, the point is we have always been purposed by God. Before the foundations, you have mattered to God. You're not created for nothing. You're not here by chance. You really aren't. You're not a flip of a coin. Oh, let's see, will it make them or not? It's never been that. We were always meant to be this morning. Chosen for a reason. Planned to be the church. Brought into God's family. Chosen for a reason. Planned for God's pleasure. See that in Ephesians 5. Formed as God's family, created to imitate Jesus, shaped as a servant, created for mission. This is the church this morning. This is the church that's playing out something on a stage that all the heavenly realms can see this morning. Any wonder the devil hates us, hates anything that God's doing. So remember this morning, as I finish, when insecurity comes, when we look at that silly news, and I'm not going to do too much of it today, bar the big points. When you feel important, when you don't feel loved, when you feel lonely, remember who you belong to this morning. Remember the blessings that you have in Christ this morning. Remember this morning, you are blessed. Jim Packer, as I finish, read a book. And in his book he says, about our adoption to children of God. And he says these words, "Do I as a Christian understand myself? Do I know my real identity? My own real destiny?" He says these words, and I think we need to say these words. He says, "I am a child of God." He says, "God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too." Say it over and over to yourself, he says, first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Say it as you wait for the bus, Martin, when your mind is free. And ask that you may be enabled to live as one who knows it's utterly and completely true. For this is the secret of the Christian life, a happy life. Yes, certainly, he says, but we have something both higher and profounder to say. The Christian secret of life, he says, of a God-honoring life. May this secret, he says, become fully yours and fully mine. He says, I am a child of God. He says, God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day, he says, is one day near. Repeat that after me. I am a child of God. One day nearer. Paul says, blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Let's pray.